All right, guys, welcome back into Sons of the Shoe with Spencer German. Nick Wilson not with me tonight. He had a family obligation, but I'm sure he'll have plenty of thoughts on tonight's game, what went well for the Buckeyes. I'm going to be honest. I am bringing back in the final segment, those of you who have been loyal listeners since the beginning of the show, we, during the season, in our post-game edition of the show, like to do a segment called Love It, Leave It. It was hard to come up with something I wanted to leave tonight. There was a lot of good, not a lot of bad. And so I was really splitting hairs to come up with something. But you'll hear that coming up in the final segment. We also have the Michigan Panic Meter, which I'm assuming you guys know where I'm going to go with it when Michigan gets blown out by Texas the way that they did. But that also ties in. That game specifically, I think, ties into a question that I have. And some other massive games that went on and played out in college football today. Before we get to all that, though, I do have to stay with the offense for a moment to just highlight Jeremiah Smith for the second consecutive week, guys, because we're in week two of the season, and I think we're already out of superlatives to describe this guy. He is a bona fide freak. He is insane. He is a monster. You know what? In the comments here on YouTube, throw whatever word suits Jeremiah Smith. Throw it into the comments and let us know. Can we come up with some different words to describe this guy? Because he is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And the fact that in two games, he's basically put up 200 yards. He's got, he had two touchdowns last week, so a third touchdown now. He's just the score he had in this game where he caught basically the curl route from Will Howard. And I liked they highlighted after the play on the replay how the play design was really well done by Chip Kelly, where he had one receiver, I want to say it was Tate, coming in motion, and it made the corner sort of pause and be like, okay, well, I got to cover this guy. And so that freed Smith up as he kind of cut into the middle of the field to run the curl. He caught it, and the safety got kind of caught over pursuing, slipped up, and Smith was just off to the races. I mean, he's the full package, which we knew kind of coming in, because everything, all the talk out of camp was that, you know, he was already this amazing talent that was giving Denzel Burke fits, and people could not contain this guy at practice against a really good Ohio State secondary, mind you. But to see it now on display is something even more special. Like, I understand we just got out of an era where we watched Marvin Harrison Jr. dominate on this team and in this sport for several years in a row consecutively, and we were in awe of him. I'm already at a point where I am in awe of Jeremiah Smith to like levels unforeseen. I have never experienced something like this, where a guy two games into his career as a freshman is just looks like a man amongst boys. I mean, there was people putting out on social media, and I had the take that the day Marvin Harrison Jr. got drafted, he'd be a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL. I think you could say that about Jeremiah Smith legitimately right now. Like right now, I think Jeremiah Smith could be a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL if he was drafted today. That's how damn good he is. And that play, I think, showed the full package of what he can do, because he catches the ball really well. He's got great hands, we know. He's super strong, and he also has the speed to just pull away from anybody. I mean, he was stopped, full stop, comes, runs a curl route, catches the ball, and it's just off to the races. Nobody has a chance of stopping him. And that's where the talent discrepancy comes into play for Ohio State. When you're playing a team like Western Michigan, you got a guy like that, there's a big difference in terms of where these two teams are at and the rosters that they have. Jeremiah Smith is the epitome of that. I mean, just another incredible performance for him. I'm hard pressed to, we've talked a lot about like, what is his ceiling in terms of stats this year? I'm hard pressed to put any sort of cap on what he's going to accomplish this year, because two games in, we're already seeing incredible things. He's playing like halves of games, and it's only going to get better from here. I can't wait to see him on a grander stage against an Oregon or a Michigan or whatever it might be. And those things will come. Defensively, I think the biggest thing that I took away from tonight, we know, I mean, again, secondary is really good. I felt like they dominated in this game per usual. But to the defensive line has been the thing in recent years that I find myself, and similar to the offensive line, not necessarily dominating as much as we hoped in matchups against inferior opponents. Defensive line has been very similar in recent years, where we were waiting for somebody to make a play, and it was like, why can't they generate more of a pass rush? Why can't they get more of a push up field and, you know, alter these quarterbacks a little bit more, even against opponents that we felt like they should be beating, frankly. And so I felt like these first 2 weeks, you have seen on full display what this front defensive line for the Buckeyes can do. And it has been a thing of beauty, because I think that has been lacking in recent seasons. But you get, you know, it was from everybody. Ty Hamilton had half a sack tonight. I know Cody Simon he got a sack on a blitz at one point tonight. But you had Jack Sawyer on the one play where was it in the second quarter? I think it was in the second quarter where he just got off the ball real quick. Tight end was coming to block him, and he just blew right past the guy and got to the quarterback to make the play on Hayden Wolf, who was their obviously Western Michigan starting quarterback. Like, it's every direction now that you're seeing. You know, Tylee Williams got in the mix for the other half of that sack that he split with Ty Hamilton. You're seeing more and more of those guys, JT Tuimoloau and others, generate the pressure, and it's more consistent than it's been in recent years. That stood out to me, and that was something that I quickly picked up on, because, again, I just felt like even in games last year against teams that we thought Ohio State should boat race, they weren't necessarily dominating in the trenches on that side of the ball either. And this year we were all expecting it to be different because of the number of upperclassmen that came back and decided to return to try to chase this championship. So I loved seeing that. I thought there was a couple guys that really impressed me I thought Arvell Reese made a couple really nice plays for the Buckeyes. He got some run, especially later in the game as things kind of wore on. But I was impressed by what he kind of brought to the table. I also just felt like in general, I know that the Denzel Burke hit was unfortunate, but I kind of looked at the glass half full perspective when it happened, where he got called for the targeting, obviously, in the first half, which was, well, Ohio State was already up, I think, 21-0 at that point. I was like, is it the worst thing to get Denzel Burke out of here a little earlier than usual and not risk any injuries here or anything, because they're going to need him, obviously, down the stretch for bigger matchups than this one. And the game was pretty much felt like it was already in hand at that point. So I was okay with that, and I wasn't too worried about the fact that he had to kind of take a backseat early. But obviously unfortunate that it was called. The thing that's tough with targeting too, and I was thinking about this, I mean, there's a lot that's wrong with the rule, but the fact that, like, the running back can lower his head and the DB or the tackler can't do the same, and sometimes it's just, like, inadvertently how the two kind of collide, that their helmets make contact, that's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate part of the rule, but it is what it is. And I, like I said, I kind of took the glass half full perspective that it wasn't the end of the world that he had to get out of there and sort of take a back seat for earlier than maybe expected. But yeah, I thought the defense once again dominated, and the fact that they pitched a shutout showed that. I mean, when you leave a game having given up just 99 yards of total offense, I think that speaks for itself. This group is really good. I do think that's almost the next thing I want to see, is I'm starting to feel better about the offense and the push that they got tonight. And if the offensive line can build on this from here, great. That's what we're hoping for. Run game was good tonight. But on the defensive side, like, now I want to see them get tested by a team with a better offense, which might not come maybe we can say the Michigan State game is the game where they have a team that has at least somewhat of a better offense. I know Michigan played a tight game, tough game against Maryland today, put up 27 points in a win, an overtime win, I believe it was too. I think they won at the end of regulation. I take that back. I was thinking of the Duke game last night, the Duke Northwestern game. But yeah, Michigan State wins that one. Maybe that's the first game you get like a better test of an offense against you. Iowa's obviously scored a little bit more this year than they have in previous years, but not, I guess not today. They lost a tight one today to Iowa State. But yeah, I don't think Oregon's going to be the one we know, but I'd like to see them get at least like some tested a little bit by an offense before that Oregon game to feel a little bit better about how they'll handle one of the better, you know, higher ranked teams, a championship caliber team like Oregon, when that game comes up on the schedule. And that's why everything for me, as we map out this early portion of the schedule, is about like, what does this mean for that Oregon game at this point? I'm not trying to say I'm taking anybody lightly. Michigan State, they could always get you if you fall asleep with the wheel. I don't think that's going to happen. Same thing with Iowa if you fall asleep with the wheel. Granted, that game's not in Iowa. It's not at Kinnick Stadium. It's at home. So that makes me feel a little bit better about it. But yeah, like you got to take those games seriously. But I'm trying to take bits and pieces from all these games that go through it and see how Ohio State progresses into being a well-oiled machine so that when the Oregon game finally hits, we feel like that's a game that they have a chance to win and maybe even dominate if they're at that point in terms of what they're able to do. Meanwhile, while Ohio State was getting ready for their nighttime showdown with Western Michigan, a lot was happening around college football and the Big Ten. And this stuff matters, guys. I already mentioned Iowa, 21st ranked team in college football, one of the Big Ten's ranked teams, obviously. And they fall to Iowa State 20-19. Went back to their, you know, scoring under 20 points thing that tends to be the staple of Iowa football. And so they fall in that one 20-19 and likely going to be knocked out of, I would assume, the top 25. They'll be back at some point. Iowa always is. But that wasn't even the worst. That wasn't even the best of it. Penn State, who we know Ohio State seems to own over the years. And this is the moment I think I missed Nick on the show tonight the most, because Penn State and James Franklin struggled to put away Nick Wilson's alma mater in the Bowling Green Falcons tonight or earlier today. And that was stunning because everybody was riding high on Penn State after last week. They go to West Virginia, get the win, and Drew Aller looked pretty good. But they did not look very good for a while. It took to the third quarter for them to even have a lead in the game. Like, not great. Not great for them. And I think, you know, maybe it's early season, feeling some things out, but that was crazy. And I don't know that Penn State looked like a top 10 team in the country today, obviously. Another team that didn't look like a top 10 team in the country, much to our joy and much to our enjoyment, was the Michigan Wolverines, who got blown out as expected at home, 31-12 against Texas. Quinn Ewers, former Ohio State Buckeye. I have a question about him, by the way, which we'll get to in the third segment. Threw for 246 yards and three touchdowns and took care of business, disposing of Michigan and handing them a loss here early in the season that obviously they have a chance to come back from, but that certainly looked like they are not on a trail or a path towards repeating as national champions. And we all relished it, every second of it. I know we did. I saw the tweets that were out there. Let's just face it. Anytime we get to watch Michigan lose, it's a good thing. We hoped it would have happened in the national championship game and they wouldn't have won the title. They get bragging rights until a new champion is crowned, and hopefully it's Ohio State. And then we can just kind of leave the Michigan one in the past. But we still get to laugh at their expense when they lose football games, because that's what the rivalry is. And so I very much enjoyed seeing them lose today, as I'm sure many of you did as well. But that's not even the biggest game of the day, because what happened in Notre Dame today was absolutely asinine. And it's why I titled the episode of this podcast, No Upsets in Columbus Tonight, because it seemed like MAC schools were just giving Big Ten teams fits today. Not even Big Ten teams, just teams in general fits today, with the Bowling Green performance against Penn State. And then last week, Nick and I talked about a little bit of maybe some worry early on against Akron, where you were only up 7-3 and then 17-3. And then today, you get Northern Illinois knocking off Notre Dame 16-14 in a stunner of a game. The number 5 team in the country goes down to Northern Illinois after everybody was riding high on the Notre Dame train. Everybody was ready to say Notre Dame's going undefeated because they beat Texas A&M last week, and that's it. And here's the problem for Notre Dame. Here's the problem for Notre Dame. Yes, you can come back from a loss this early in the season, especially in a 12-team playoff era. But their schedule is easy, very, very easy this year. They don't play all the you know, big name teams that you're sometimes used to seeing them play. They do have USC on there, but Florida State, who's on there, they're obviously they struggled this year. Or they have struggled this year already, off to an 0-2 start. So, like, I'm looking up and down their schedule, and it's like, man, they really are going to have to accumulate some wins. I know they got Louisville on there, who's 22nd in the country right now. Georgia Tech, who's 23rd, but they just lost to Syracuse today, so that might change. But, like, that schedule is easy, where they definitely cannot afford another loss along the way, or it truly could cost them a spot in the playoff. I think ultimately Notre Dame will get in and they'll probably salvage things from here. But man, does that ramp up the heat on Marcus Freeman. And man, does that ramp up the pressure on them to try to get themselves now back in the playoffs. Because if you lose to a MAC school like that, and then by the way, biggest upset in the history of the MAC. Has to be. It has to be. I can't think of another one. When I used to work at the University of Akron part-time, they beat Northwestern in a game, which was a huge deal to Akron at the time and in the MAC at the time. But number five team in the country falling to Northern Illinois. I mean, this is a modern-day App State over Michigan. Like, truly, it is. That is insane. And Notre Dame's got some explaining to do. Marcus Freeman's got some explaining to do. And things are not going well there for the Golden Domers. All right, we take another break. As we pause quickly for a quick word from our sponsors, when we get back, the Michigan panic meter, how was it affected, or if at all, by the blowout loss today? I have a question about the quarterback that took them down from Texas and Quinn Ewers. And we bring back as our post-game staple, like it, love it, and leave it for the Buckeyes win over Western Michigan. All that and more coming your way here on Sons of the Shoe. Keep it locked, guys. I'll talk to you here in just a minute.